one body bag or two?
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. It is Tea Time Horror Stories, or Tea Time Horrors, however you guys want to say it. We're back, right, Joe?
Horror Stories.
Yep, we're finally back. It's been a bit of a break since the last time we've done a recording. A lot of things have changed since then. As you guys know, Yelly moved away, so she is no longer with us currently right now. But we do have a guest with us today, and he is actually my brother. It's James. James, would you like to say hi to everyone?
Hello, everyone. Don't usually do recording. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. So somebody come in wants me to give my honest reaction on this murder.
Yes, we are actually covering a murder. It is murder week, and James needs to learn to move just a little bit closer to his mic, and he will get better with that. Yes, you want to love your mic and pretend like your mic is your best friend. Talk into it. All right, so we're back again. Sorry about our long hiatus. We just had a lot of things that were happening. Work was requiring a lot of time from us. We were working literally more than 40 hours a week. Still doing that nowadays. We mentioned earlier that me and Joe were building a place. The place is completely, pretty much like 90% done now. We worked on it a lot. We're living in it now. We have our animals with us as well. So we're currently just waiting to get our kitchen, which is bought, but we're just waiting for that to arrive. Other than that, not a whole lot has really happened. Just work, rinse, and repeat. So, but let's jump on to the next thing. Joe, what are you drinking?
Well, it's not tea today, unfortunately.
Oh.
Today is coffee, which I'm probably going to be drinking more of during these sessions. Today we have Siege Fuel by Geek Grind. We're not in any way, shape, or form trying to advertise this coffee, but it is a good coffee.
Hey, again, Geek Grind.
That's Siege Fuel. It is an espresso blend, and it is pretty good.
So Joe is drinking his coffee. I guess I'm the only one here drinking tea today.
Oh, chai tea.
A form of tea, yes. Oh,
I don't normally even drink coffee. Caffeine is not usually my thing. But the coffee's good. The coffee I'm drinking, drinking it black, there's nothing in it. Just the coffee itself, and it's tasty-ish.
Ish.
With the minty, it doesn't help, though.
Coffee is just gross in general. I don't know how you guys like coffee so much. But
men.
Men? Yeah, oh my men. God, James. Alrighty, so again, welcome back everyone. We're glad to be back. We're going to try and make this probably an every week thing or bi-weekly. We haven't fully decided yet. Just depends on how our work schedule is going to work with us this time around.
Let's take a couple of steps back. What kind of tea did you say you were drinking again?
Oh, thank you, Joe, for asking. I am drinking a chai tea latte with vanilla in it. Because that has not changed. I still like very sweet stuff. That's never ever gonna change, because sweet
sugar is her coffee.
Sugar is my coffee, because anyone knows if I were to drink coffee, it is 95% sweetener and 2% coffee with the rest unknown. So creamer. More creamer and sugar. I just don't like coffee. It's too bitter. It's too gross. We've had this discussion before with Yelly.
Wait, does Yelly drink coffee?
Of course she does. She used to be a barista.
No idea what that means.
A barista? Yeah. A barista are like the people who specialize in making like coffees and stuff like that. Kind of like Starbucks baristas, the people that are behind that make the drinks.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, she did that for a long while. Anyways, so yeah, we are still trying to decide whether this is going to be a once a week thing or every other week. It just depends on our schedule and how it permits us. But we will be at least releasing 2 episodes per month. That's a given. Versus 4 or 5, it just depends on what our schedule is allowing us. So we're just having a little bit more freedom there. But as James mentioned earlier, we are covering murder this week.
Myth would have been cool. I know a thing or two about myths.
Well, myth, I do believe, is next episode. Me and Joe have a myth and a paranormal
we'll
lined up.
See you next time. Wait, no, we'll hear from you. Never mind. Just continue.
Just yeah. So, that being said, we all know I'm the one who handles murder here, so we have Joe and James to give me their honest reaction on something that we are covering. Today is a bit of a, more hits close to home, it's a bit of a semi-sensitive topic. It involves the murder of a child, of a kid. So, I will get into it.
No, definitely not dad.
Yeah, no. Yeah, which also, in my earlier episodes, I did have an episode with my dad. It covered a paranormal. A lot of you guys really seem to like that. I've already spoken with him. He's willing to sit down and do more stuff. He's just not a big fan of anything murder, so don't expect him to appear on any of our murder episodes, but do expect to hear him or probably have him around when it comes to paranormal myth. Alrighty, so today we are covering a murder. Unfortunately, it is the murder of a child. This is the murder of Casey Renee Woody. It happened fairly recently. Not
is she a cowboy?
No, but she was in Arkansas. So, Woody, I see where you're getting that from. Let's not mention that, all right. Where that's from.
Never mind.
So, I'm going to get into the little dirty details because we all know I love little dirty details. So, let's get into the case about Casey Renee Woody. She was born October 17th, 1989, at the Baptist Medical Center in Little Rock, Arkansas. She came into this world as a fighter born with mucosis aspiration syndrome.
Okay.
I'll get into what it is. She had to be rushed to the NICU unit for several weeks before she could go home. Mucosis aspiration syndrome is when a baby passes stool in the in the fluid, in their
umbilical cord.
Basically, yes. So it's when they pass fluid.
So they got poop coming out of their belly button.
No. So what it basically is when they are in the amniotic fluid before they're born in the mom's womb, they pass stool while they're still in that fluid, and while she's giving birth, that stool gets into their mouth and causes them to get poisoned.
Gotcha.
So that's basically what it was. So that what's the syndrome was. Because stool is bad, let's just put it that way, when it's consumed, it basically caused her to be in the NICU, which is the intensive care unit for kids, for babies. And she was there for several weeks before she could go home. So she was there for a while. There's really no cause of this that what happened. Some people say it's caused out of trauma, out of stress. The baby is basically being birthed, and it's a lot of stress on the baby, and sometimes they can go to the bathroom, or sometimes the mother can transfer it to them as well, because sometimes the mother can have a bowel movement while she's giving birth as well. Casey Renee Woody was born to Ricky and Christy Woody of Conway, Arkansas, and she had two older brothers, Austin and Timothy. Casey was already gets you like, man, it's the brothers. It's well, I have three older brothers.
Man, you're still alive. Oh my god.
I wonder about that sometimes. So
we're all dead inside a little bit.
Wow.
Pesto jelly beans.
Joe got really dark there. Casey was the center of the world when it came to her family. Everyone absolutely adored her. She was the glue that kept the whole family together. She always had a bright smile on her face, and her smile was so contagious that by the time you would leave the room, everyone else was smiling with her. She was very much a daddy's girl, but also a mama's girl. She just had that look that she can give her father or her brothers, and they can never say no to her. But a simple "I love you, Daddy" is all it took for Ricky to melt at his knees and surrender to her.
Do the roar. I love you, Daddy.
I love you, Daddy. So she had a special relationship with her family members, but the relationship Casey had with her mother was like none other. One look from each other and it was as if they knew what each other was thinking. She was always by her mother's side. If her mother got up to go to the room, she would follow her in a heartbeat. This continued until her mother ultimately passed away, so until her death, when Casey was only 7 years old.
Jesus.
Yes, the entire Woody family was in a car when two horses ran in front of them on the road, causing the vehicle to flip and be completely wrecked. Casey's mother, Christy, was killed instantly. Yeah.
So the mother died when she was seven?
Yeah.
And then she's going to pass at a different time?
Yes.
Fuck, man.
Yeah. So,
and dad's going through some shit right now.
Right. That's a family that has seen tragedy practically almost their whole life.
Unless it was the dad who did it.
It was the brothers.
The brothers and the dad. What the hell? And the conspiracy was the two horses pulling the wagon.
Oh my god. Little do you know, they are actually undercover something else. Here's a little sugar cube for you guys. So although torn up deeply by her mother's passing, she became very strong and fought to keep her family together. Casey rarely spoke about the accident or even her mother to anyone in general, but she did develop a hatred for horses afterwards. Ironically, her mother loved horses, and Casey would inherit her mother's collection of horse figurines after the accident. She kept all of them in her bedroom. So I thought that was a little interesting sugar cube for you guys.
Yeah, especially since you used to collect a whole bunch of horse
dolls. I still have them. I have them in storage.
Yeah, I know. I've seen them.
Yep. So I collect horses. I love horses. I've always been a horse fan.
And cows.
And cows. Yeah, big ones. Oh my God. If anyone ever wants to send me anything that involves cows, let's continue on. So Casey grew up in Holland, Arkansas, a community of less than 600 people and about 50 miles north of Little Rock. She was a small-town girl who wanted to be everyone's friend. There wasn't a soul she didn't get along with, and everyone loved being around her. By 2002, and in 7th grade at Greenberry Middle School, she was a singer in the chorus and played the saxophone.
The saxophone or the saxophone?
The saxophone.
The saxophone.
Really, Joe?
You know where I'm going with that.
Okay, so she loved singing loudly and was good at it, but most of all, she loved poetry. She was really good at it. She was bubbly and lively, a lively individual when all those were around her. When her mother ultimately passed, she left Casey with an emptiness that she could not fulfill. She was looking for some sort of mother figure in her life. At one point, she spent a whole day looking for someone who would let her get her ears pierced without parental permission. Okay, with the death of her mother, this caused a young Casey to grow up really quickly. Ricky, her father, was working full-time as a police officer, working night shifts, was incredibly busy. The eldest brother, Austin, had already moved out of the house, and Ricky, their father, relied heavily on Tim, who lived at the home, as well as their aunt Teresa, who lived next door, and their grandmother, who would come over often to make sure Tim and Casey were okay. With her mother passing away, she took up doing all her own laundry, cooking and cleaning, and was never told to have to do her own homework, as she would willingly do it. Her aunt and grandmother had often expressed to Ricky and Casey spent too much time on the computer, aka the devil box, and was afraid that they would I don't know why I have that on me.
Devil box.
You have to say it like they do in the movies.
This is where we need a sound box. The devil box. Boom, boom, boom.
I don't know. I wrote this a long time ago, so I'm just kind of reading what I wrote. And I don't know why I called it the devil box. It just reminds me of Coco. That's where I got it from. The devil box.
Again, no affiliations. Just mentioned.
Right. So her aunt and her grandmother had often expressed to Ricky and Casey... Ricky, that his daughter Casey spent too much time on the computer, aka the devil box, and was afraid that what could happen. Even her brother had expressed concerns. So, doesn't this remind you of someone, sort of?
Yeah, I think I know who it is. Just give me a moment.
Myself. I'm talking about myself.
Oh, okay, never mind. I was thinking of somebody else.
Wait, yeah. The devil box? You were the one always on the PC.
Exactly, that's what I'm talking about. So, this happened, she's the same age as me.
Yeah.
She was born in October, the same year as me, but she was married to the computer, but her parents showed, her dad and her grandmother and her auntie showed really great concern about things that could happen, and this kind of leads me to what's going on and how she ended up murdered. Okay. So, I related to this a lot, only because I was married to the computer growing up, like... Oh, yeah. I was on the computer all the time. I was chatting, I didn't chat with random people. That's the only thing that I didn't do.
Lies.
Well, I was on like Gaia Online and stuff like that. So a lot of like anime related places. That's what I did a lot of. And those were the people that I talked to. But that was about it. But she would go, let me get into details what she used to do on the computer a lot. So obviously her brother, her dad, her auntie, her grandmother all showed concerns with her basic addiction to the computer and always wanting to be on the computer. So remember this. Casey was born in 1989. And here I am giving my date and my age here. That's the same year I was born. So it was, you know, it's computers were a huge thing. Most household item. It was a must-have household item. And this started in the late 90s, early 2000s. The internet was a huge thing as well. We all thought we were all cool with dial-up internet, trying to be sneaky and getting on without our parents hearing. I don't know how many times I did that.
I did porn. Woo. Yeah.
With dial-up?
Oh, with the dial-up. You know,
I waited for that shit, dude. Holding my... Well, we better not get into that. But I was waiting for it.
Right? And especially, like, trying to be all sneaky about it when you used to go the wee!
You're like, shut up.
I know. I like, could be done already.
Would answer the phone.
Throw a oh.
Or God. That or, was no, like no. the main giveaway. No,
guys, throw a blanket over the computer, and it's muffled the noise.
Well, or you just waited until it muffled. But then again, Mom was like a deep sleeper anyway, so we kind of got away with that. Yeah. So, anyways, we all thought we were cool with dial-up internet, trying to be sneaky and getting on without our parents hearing. But like Casey, I did nearly everything she did as well. I was 13 years old when I became glued to the internet. Chatting was everything. You can ask my best friend of 18 plus years, Claudia, that we were on there all the time chatting. It was kind of our thing. It was something we always did. So, but you also have to think, she lived in a small town. Remember, they have, what, like 300 people? Oh, no, 800 people at most that lived in that town. Imagine how she felt living in a small town and having this internet where she can do everything and have anything at her fingertips. Anyway, she lived in a small town where I'm sure nothing interesting happened, and the internet was probably the best damn thing in the world, being able to see all the outside world had to offer. And Casey, she did. She'd utilize the internet and her own computer all the time, but I knew right away the internet was a twisted dark place if you were not careful. On New Year's Eve in 2001, she met a boy. Well, she
That's
didn't
where it always starts.
Right? They meet
boy meets
a boy.
Girl, boy kills girl.
Now it's on a talk show. Woo.
Right. So this New Year's Eve of 2001, she met a boy. Well, she didn't really meet him in person. She met him online in a Christian chat room.
Oh, that's red flags all over.
Right. Like, never. We had that in our episode one. I mean, come on. The murderer came from a Christian dating site.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cosplay and Christian mingle.
Yeah. If you guys ever want to know what that is, just go to our first episode. It's cosplay and Christian mingle.
See, that's who I thought you were referring to when you were talking about the internet and chatting with people.
Nope. This one is yet another internet chatting with people people thing.
So what does that tell you, people?
Don't chat with random people online.
That's one.
Well, that's everything nowadays.
Well, that kind of sucks because, like, you can't do any online dating without chatting with a random person.
That's true. You're trusting these people to chat with them, but you also have to think, when you were chatting with them, one of the things that you couldn't do when you were chatting with people at the time was like video chat them or send pictures and stuff like that. Nowadays, you can at least set up video chats with them and be like, hey, if they don't want to video chat with you, you know something for sure is up. You know that that's spicy or like...
Yeah, like that time you tried buying the dachshund.
Yeah, right, and they wouldn't show us a video.
They wouldn't video chat with us at all, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Nowadays, you can really catch people in their lies because there's so many things that, you know, there's so many things. Back in the day, you could be like, oh, well, I don't have a webcam or I don't have any way of taking pictures or putting it up because, you know, back in the day, that was a thing.
Yeah, bullshit. Every laptop nowadays has a camera now.
Exactly. Every laptop.
Every cell phone has a camera now. Yeah.
Exactly. So you can't really bullshit. But again, this is 2001.
Yeah.
So.
That's 2001.
Okay. Right.
It's like 2021.
So, she didn't really meet him in person. She met him online in a Christian chat room. One thing about Casey is that she's really heavily into her faith.
That sucks even worse.
Yeah, it gets worse.
Worse
believe
or better.
Me. So it was very important to her, and she loved meeting new people who would share the same ideas as her. This led her into the Christian chat room where she and her friends had all joined because, ironically enough, they thought this was safer than meeting people in real life.
Well, I mean, if you meet a stranger in real life and they turn out to be a serial killer, then
that's kind of weird.
But then on the other hand, you kind of get used to this persona of another individual online. So it's kind of like, do I really know this person that I'm going to be meeting soon?
I guess so. I mean, I personally thought meeting someone in person was probably a little bit...
Is always better. Kind
of like is Georgie always better than...
I think it's always better.
Yeah, I
so
thought it was...
like Georgie and Pennywise. They're no longer stranger when he introduces them.
They're no longer stranger the moment he bites the kid's arm off. We know exactly what that guy's doing.
Wow. All right. So,
you're not supposed
to
talk to strangers.
I mean, personally, I think meeting someone in person is a little bit easier and better than sort of chatting with some random person online. I feel it's a little awkward, but maybe I'm just an old school or, you know, in that sense. But anyway, so it was later revealed that there was much going on in that chat. There wasn't much going on in relation to Christianity that was being talked about in that chat room. Yeah, it was a Christian chat room, but not a whole lot of Christian-y stuff.
Was it supposed to be mostly boys and never mind.
Yes. So. Yeah. So.
Shit. This is really sensitive.
The boy's name in question was Dave. He was 17-year-old Dave.
Do you have a last name?
I'm pretty sure there was a last name, but I don't have it on here. So
it was redacted from all the files.
It could have been because he was under the age, but we'll get into there. So the boy's name was Dave. He was a 17-year-old boy who lived in San Diego, California, who lived in a pretty crazy but fun life. To Casey, she lived for this. Remember, she lived in the middle of nowhere, and knowing, oh, this person's in San Diego, California, where all the excitement happens, she was instantly hooked with him. So, Dave sounded like the most exciting guy she had ever met. Casey and Dave hit it off instantly and bonded over their shared love of Elvis, as well as music in general. In the end, they exchanged phone numbers and photos.
Oh. All right, so she got a photo of the guy.
Yes. Is
it an accurate photo?
We'll get into that, actually. So, she trusted him with her every being. There was one thing a lot of people could agree on. Casey hated talking about herself, even to her closest friend. She was always trying to make everyone happy around her and being there for them. But with Dave, Casey felt so comfortable, she soon told him about her mother's death. And she started talking about her mom. She never spoke about her mother and shared her deepest and darkest secrets with him. She felt she could tell him everything and anything. Once she had opened up about her mother's passing, Dave felt that he could trust her, and in return, he opened about his tragic story, which was very similar to Casey's. Dave's aunt had been in a car wreck not too long ago and was now in a coma. The prognosis was grim. The fact that they both had loved ones who had been in a serious car crash and shared tragic accidents seemed to connect them together like no one had before in her life. I saw this as a red flag myself. It's like, how, after he heard about her tragic story, how does he have something that's so similar as well? Well,
see, that's just something you got to trust in a relationship. You don't know. I mean, that just goes back to relationships in general. The person you're talking to across the table that you just met can tell you absolutely anything, and the risk you're taking is that you got to trust everything that person is saying.
That's true. She trusted him, but you also have to think, this is Predator 101. This is coming from someone who...
Predator 101 is just trying to relate.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, most predators could, I mean, do anything to feel knew, connected to their victims.
That could have been all real, but it's probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, that could have been all for real.
I mean, we'll find out, won't we?
Give me a picture of your aunt in coma.
Right. Take it with the nowadays newspaper.
Let's video chat with your aunt that's in a coma.
Your aunt, can you video chat? Hi.
This is her in a coma. Grab her hand. Hello. Oh man, we're going to hell. I think. I know.
You think? It's been long past due.
We'll be running it. It's okay. Alrighty.
Don't want it. Yeah, too big of a job. It's going to be straight down into the ground.
It's already underground, so you can't run it even more.
I'll watch this.
So, Dave seemed like the perfect boy. He was handsome, extremely popular at his school, and sweet. But
Voldemort!
I mean, Tom Riddle before he lost his nose.
How he lost his nose, I don't even know. But let's not get into Harry Potter stuff, because I'm pretty sure we can talk about that for hours.
Yeah, we could.
So
we're nerds, people.
We're very much nerds. They know this by now, Joe.
Coffee.
Oh my God, the coffee's kicking in for them. So again, he was extremely handsome. He was popular. He was sweet. But there was a conflicting information about how her friends felt about Dave. Most of them felt comfortable with him having his username on Yahoo Messenger. Oh my God. I had that chat among months. A lot of things. It was actually one of my favorite.
I had AOL.
I had everything. There was this one.
I did no chatting growing up. I was an in-person kind of person. I still am today.
I loved chatting. Chatting was my shit.
I can't even spell that well.
There was this app that was called Trillion at the time, which had all the messengers put into one. It had AOL. It had MSN. It had Yahoo. It had everything. And I used that one all the time. So
she didn't talk to strangers.
I only talked with people who I met on Gaia Online.
Liar. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
You know something that I don't even know about. So,
joke.
So, yeah. So they talked on Yahoo Messenger, they chatted with him all the time. Sometimes they would chat in groups. Most of Casey's friends considered him his friend as well and cared deeply for him. But there was others who were more skeptical, and who found out who Dave truly was. Uh-oh. So Casey's friend Samantha.
What?
It's a more common name than you.
Well, it is. It's super common. I mean, come on. My name is Samantha. I go by Sam.
My dad was like, my dad's friends were like, hey, what's your daughter's name? My dad was like, my dad's a cement mason. He was like, what sounds like Samantha? Yeah, my daughter's name is Samantha.
Boom. Yeah. Yeah.
Since your name is made.
Yeah, that's how my name was gotten, because my dad is cement mason by trade. So anyways, Casey's best friend was named Samantha. That's like me. That's my name. So she wasn't sure or comfortable with Dave, stating that he really didn't act or seem like a teenager to her. He would use words like groovy and wicked, which I can relate to, were not words that were used much during casual conversations in the early 2000s.
Was this Bruce Campbell?
More like...
like Bruce Campbell from Evil Dead?
Yeah, so it was kind of dated.
I know, but still, it's just like, if I hear somebody saying, like, during that time, I had seen the movie like Evil Dead.
But Evil Dead didn't come out in the 2000s. It came out sooner than
that. I know, but I had seen the movie by that time.
Yeah, so...
and when I hear that, I was just like, are you Bruce Campbell? That would have been my first thing.
So, yeah, I mean, people kind of took his words that he would use. He would use, like, groovy and wicked, which kind of seemed more like 80s, 90s, 70s versus 2000s, where, I don't know about you guys, but I use the word sick, tights, dude. I still use dude a lot to this day.
That's all like 90s terminology.
Yeah, that's all 2000s terminology right there that we used.
90s and 2000s.
So people were just like, why is he using words that just seemed...
well, you know, Austin Powers, groovy baby.
Groovy baby. Anyways... so Casey was pretty open with her family about her doings on the internet, but to an extent, she would tell them that she met someone online in a Christian chat room, but truthfully, no one really thought anything bad about it. And honestly, most parents at the time didn't, because they didn't understand what was going on anyways. So it was completely new to them, and we were all learning at the same time. Ricky, her father, was one of those people. He wasn't too concerned about Casey's new online friend Dave. She was safe, and she was doing all the safe stuff at the house anyways. He's like, well, she's at home. How bad can this be? You know, like, how much of a threat is it? She's at home. I'd rather her be home than running around and doing things, you know, God knows what up.
Right. Out there, better so. Do it there than anywhere else.
Exactly. So, let's see.
Is this for the greater good? Is this where we reveal that our mom gave us our first shot when we were underage?
What? Oh, this is where we reveal that mom used to give us alcohol before we were 21. We're over 21 now, so it doesn't matter. So, Ricky did end up asking more information about Dave and Casey. Have I been calling Chrissy this entire time?
Or? No, you've been calling her Casey.
Casey, okay. For some reason, I thought I was calling her something else. So, Casey told him who he was. Once Dave had turned 18 years old, Ricky had told Casey to stop communicating with Dave, but it was too late. She didn't listen. It was too late. She continued to talk to him, and she just completely got so engrossed into him. She just couldn't give him up, no matter what her parents said.
How old was she at this time?
16.
Oh, yeah.
So, definitely during that rebellious phase. She was 13, my bad. So, yeah, she was pretty young. So, at this point, Casey and Dave's relationship did very briefly cross the threshold of more than friends, but in May 2002, she met another boy by the name of Scott. Scott told her that he was a 14-year-old and lived in Georgia, in the suburbs of Atlanta. Very quickly, the two became more than just friends. Scott and Casey said they officially started dating in October 3rd of 2002, but her friend said that they started dating a week after they met online. So they got together pretty quickly.
Well, that escalated.
Right. So whatever the case was, Casey had broken off whatever relationship with Dave to be with Scott, but she maintained a very close friendship with Dave, who Scott was aware of and was also friends with as well. So honestly, I think this was the trigger that Dave went down his downward spiral. And this is where, huh?
Dave was legit. I mean, was he actually telling the truth? I don't think so.
Let's find out in the next episode of Dragon Ball Z. Alrighty, so let's see. So remember, Casey's a teenage girl with the internet at her hands. She was a pretty cute girl herself, and boys were all at the forefront of her brain at the time. Hormones, ladies and gentlemen's hormones. You know, you can't say no to those things.
Damn whores.
Hormones. Hormones, Joe.
There's nothing wrong with whores, man. They're nice people.
Oh, my God.
Depends on which ones you're talking about.
This is true. Very true.
Yes.
Hey, Joe, so. How do you know that?
Let's jump on to Dave, shall we? So Dave's aunt, who was still in a coma, lived in Arkansas. Coincidence? I think not.
Wait, I thought...
Dave lived in San Diego.
But his aunt
but lived in Arkansas? But his aunt, who's in a coma, lives in Arkansas.
Yeah, that's a red flag. So
coincidence?
So the only aunt, I guess, is relative?
Yes, his only blood relative, the coma, the one that's in a coma that got into a horrible accident, somehow lives in Arkansas. But wait, it gets better. It really does.
That's such a red flag.
So, she lived in Arkansas, and Casey and her friends often talked about possibly meeting up with him or going to go see his aunt to pay their respects, supposedly. But her friends had reported that Casey spoke about this and expressed and maintained that she had no intentions of ever meeting him in person. So, she would tell Dave, yeah, let's go meet up, or but she didn't want to because she started getting red flags on him as well. She was constantly on her computer, jumping from chat room to chat room, meeting new people all the time online. She had only known Scott for a couple weeks before she gave him her home address and was handing out her phone number to several people online as well. She had given Dave her phone number just weeks after meeting online as well. Everyone was clearly concerned, and one of her friends took her concern to the school counselor. Samantha! Samantha had grown increasingly concerned about her friend's behavior and all the unknown people she was meeting on her online and her online romances. The counselor brought Casey in and attempted to warn her of the dangers of giving out too much information online, but Casey didn't seem to understand this at all. She just wouldn't take it into consideration. The counselor warned that not everyone could be telling the truth or may not be as they appear. She was too trusting and too eager to meet people she truly didn't know. This really pissed off Casey. She confronted Samantha and they fought, but not physically. But they were upset with each other like most teenagers. They didn't talk for a couple hours, but by the end of the day, they had patched everything up and were buddies by the end of the day. High school. What do you expect?
It's high school. Lunchtime usually fixes things up.
Right? You want to share your lunch with me, fool?
People just need food in their stomach. They get hangry.
They get hangry. I get hangry. Fuck yeah, do I get hangry.
I'm hungry.
But this is where things got a little odd. After making up, Casey asked Samantha if she could spend the night, but it was a school night. Samantha instantly said no, but she knew her mother would never agree to let her stay at a night during a school weekend. Casey then went around and asked several of her friends if they could come over and spend the night with her, which was weird. You know, she got the same answer from all of them. It's a school weekend. I can't spend the night. So her attitude and her demeanor by the end of the day was starting to get concerning to a lot of people, so they were just wondering what was going on. One really realized it until after all this went down, so they were concerned. And when people looked back on it, some thought this was a silent plea of help because maybe Casey felt something was off or wrong or something was going to happen to her. I think there was something or someone making her uncomfortable, but she did not want to return home alone, as she was home alone almost every night.
Was Dave's aunt really the aunt trying to pose as Dave? Being like, I'm a California kid.
Well, you're going to really find out more about Dave right now, actually.
Oh, okay.
So, December 3rd, 2002 was a very cold night. It was 39 degrees Fahrenheit, which is about 3 Celsius. I think if I did that right, I'm not too sure. But it was also rainy, so imagine how cold that was.
That's a pretty cold night.
I bitch when it gets to the 40s here in California. Imagine it being 30-something out there. Oh, I don't think so. And here's where things get started. So, this was a normal Tuesday night. Her father, Ricky, was working the late shift and was not scheduled to get off until 2 a.m. He wasn't feeling well that day and hadn't even thought about calling off due to a sinus infection, but he knew he had to go in. He had a family he needed to provide for. Her older brother, Tim, had a night class with his friend, Eric, who was living with them at the time that this happened. He, too, was in a late night class as well. So Teresa, her aunt, her next door neighbor, would not be home as well, as she was attending her own kid's basketball game. So, again, Casey's all alone by herself again. Like most nights, Casey was home alone, but that was nothing new. Like always, she locked all the doors, made sure all the windows were closed, and all the lights were on. Like most nights, Casey was online chatting with her friends, Dave being one of them, and the only difference, Dave was very upset that night. Instead of chatting, he ended up calling her. They talked on the phone while she chatted with others. He claimed he was in Arkansas and had been driving from California for the last 4 days. His aunt was... I can hear him.
That was the idea.
For those of you who can hear, that is my cat, Fig. You guys heard about him in the last episode. He's a big boy now, and he loves attention. So Don't mind his. And Junior's Peppy? Yeah, Junior's manhandling Peppy right now.
Jeez.
This is a normal thing. People hear my cats and my dogs all the time. So.
Hey, Fig.
Let's see.
Fig's usually with me when I'm working outside. He's right. Stuck in his tail, though.
It's probably he always does. Sap. So Dave was upset that night. Instead of chatting, he ended up calling her and they talked on the phone while she chatted with others. He claimed that he was in Arkansas and had been driving from California for the last 4 days. His aunt was barely hanging on. Her prognosis was grim and she was lucky if she lived through the night. Dave was on his way to pay her one last visit and was afraid he wasn't going to make it on time. At the same time, she was also chatting online with her at the time boyfriend Scott. He states and records show that the last message from Casey was at 9:41 p.m. and after that she suddenly stopped responding. He continued to message her but she never replied and he grew concerned quickly. When she would not reply, he called the house phone around 10:15 p.m. but no one answered. He continued to send her messages but nothing. This was really out of character for Casey and Scott couldn't stop the growing fear that something was terribly wrong. By 10:45 p.m. he sent an email to Casey's friend but she didn't see the email until the morning, unfortunately. Scott was getting desperate.
Oh, hi, Josie.
This is where things start to get pretty spicy. So around 10:15 p.m.
I haven't gotten spicy already.
Spicier. I hope you guys like it super spicy because it's going to get scorching. So around 10:15 p.m., Eric Bates, which is Tim's friend who was living with him at the time.
Your claws, buddy. Ah, that hurts.
So, around 10:15 p.m., Eric Bates, Timothy's friend who's living with the family at the time, Casey's brother friend who lived with them, came home and assumed Casey was in bed. He started to do laundry and chores around the house when he noticed Casey was not in her room. The house was just too quiet. When Tim, her brother, finally got home a few minutes later, Eric asked if he knew where Casey was, if she perhaps stayed over at a friend's house. It was Tuesday and he knew Casey would not stay over on a weekday. He had no idea where his sister was. Tim called his father, who had assumed she was home like any other night. Tim called his Aunt Teresa and even some of her friends. Unfortunately, no one knew anything. Rick made up the next step. He called the local sheriff's office. Within minutes, an investigation started, and it was only a matter of minutes when they knew Casey had met with foul play. They quickly saw that there were signs of forced entry and struggle in her bedroom. Her two jackets and shoes were where she had left them earlier were still there. It was raining and the day was very cold. Why would anyone leave the house without a jacket or shoes? The only thing missing was Casey's pajamas that they assumed that she was wearing and she would disappear in. Even her glasses were found broken in the house. Again, raining night, cold night, broken glasses, her jackets and shoes are still there. Had to be in something and they had to move quickly. But there was a bright side to this. Sort of. That's just gonna like
It's
Kitty ASMR right now. Yeah. So there was a bright side to this. The first clue was Casey's computer. Her chats were still open and they could easily see her footsteps. They could see that she was chatting with her boyfriend Scott and he was telling him that she was on the phone with Dave, who was upset about his aunt. They had to get more information on who Scott and Dave were and if they could be connected. Samantha and Jessica, both best friends of Casey, found out about Casey's abduction the next morning. They instantly told investigators about her life online and that they had to contact Scott and Dave, handing over all they knew. Investigators were able to get in touch with Scott pretty easily, and it turned out Scott was Scott. Scott was a 14-year-old boy from the suburbs of Atlanta. Eric was easily able to get in touch with him, who sent their conversation history, and all Scott had to do was try and find Casey from where he was located. So Scott was who he said he was.
We knew that one. I sure hope so.
You sure hope so. But as for Dave, he was much harder to find. The investigators were looking locally when one of Casey's friends were able to give all the information they had on Dave, including his full name. He had told everyone, Dave Figgin. I did have his name.
Figgin.
Figgin. That doesn't sound like a made-up last name.
Figgin. F-E-G-A-N? Figgin? Figgin?
Figgin?
Yes. Figgin? With no luck from the neighborhood, searching the woods around the house, this was the only option. The investigation for Dave Figgin of California started and escalated quickly. Tracking his information online, a new picture of Dave was painted. David Figgin was actually David Fuller. He was 47 years old and lived in La Mesa, California, the suburbs of San Diego.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
He was married with two children, but his wife had filed for divorce in early July. He was also
caught something.
Right. He was also fired from his job as a used car salesman after he had been caught with child porn on his work computer. He was also arrested of domestic violence, but charges were dropped due to the lack of evidence. He was also accused of inappropriate behavior with his 7-year-old daughter, but the investigation of Child Protection Services found nothing.
Holy shit, dude.
Right. Through internet history, police were able to track Fuller's every step. He obtained credit card records. They noticed that he was on his way to Arkansas. On December 4th, the day after the abduction, his cart had been charged for a storage unit. The storage unit was located in Conway, Arkansas, which was right around the corner from Holland. They also found Fuller was registered at a nearby Motel 8 and had arrived on December 2nd and was scheduled to stay for a week. The hotel manager remembered David because he was always in pain, complaining the internet wasn't working or was too slow, and several times he had to go to the local library to use the internet.
Good old days.
You said he was always complaining, huh?
Yes, always complaining. Learning about the storage unit, they hoped Casey would be there alive, but they had to act quick. While on their way there, a bolo, which stands out beyond the lookout, was sent out, and within minutes reports that the van that he had rented was spotted in Little Rock.
And is this before the Amber Alert things, or?
Amber Alert was a thing.
Yeah, but by this time, was it?
Yeah, they sent out a bolo, which is basically that.
Yeah, be on the lookout.
Yes, so they could tell he was running, but they hoped they had left Casey in the locker room or was on the run, but they could catch him. Okay, but later that evening, around 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., the door to the storage unit was closed but left unlocked. They had hoped to find Casey in there alive, but what they found was a silver minivan with the engine running. The SWAT team surrounded the unit, trying to convince who was in there to come out. They only heard one gunshot, and they had hoped nothing bad had happened to Casey Woody. They got no response, and around 8:30 p.m. they entered the unit. I thought this was a little weird. They got there between 5 and 6. They heard a gunshot wound, but they didn't go in until... Or they heard a gunshot go off, but they didn't go in until 8:30.
Maybe the whole confrontation took a couple hours, because they said they were trying to convince the guy to come out.
They were trying to convince whoever was in there to come out.
Yeah, maybe the ordeal took maybe an hour or two.
No one ever responded.
Oh.
Which was a little weird, I thought.
That was a little weird.
So, anyway, so they got no response, and around 8:30 they entered the unit. The body of David Fuller was found dead on the floor with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Presumably, just as they had opened the unit door inside the van, they found the body of Casey Woody. Casey had also died from a single gunshot wound to the head. The investigators were able to put the story together. Casey had been taken from her house while she was alone. Yeah. David had covered her mouth with a chloroform-soaked rag. Unconscious, Dave dragged her out of the house and took her to the unit where he had been seen around 10:15 p.m. on December 3rd. Dave had left the storage unit around 7:24 a.m. on December 4th to go to the convenience store. Police believed he was planning to escape when it was dark on December 4th. The medical examiner was unable to tell Casey's time of death, but figured she had been unconscious for a while, maybe even the whole time she was with him in the unit. But at the same point, David had raped and murdered Casey and then committed suicide when police had arrived on scene.
Fucking coward.
Yep. Investigators had to dig deep on who David Fuller really was. Neighbors had reported the weeks before the abduction that he was acting even more weird. He had also left abruptly, not telling anyone where he was going, but the police assumed it was Casey. Once in Arkansas, he continued talking to Casey, acting like the 18-year-old Dave. Investigators also showed this wasn't the first time. He had several weekend trips to the same area of Arkansas in October, and this is where police believed he was spying on Casey and getting to know her schedule. Or maybe he had chickened out to take her at those times, but we will never know. There was one night when Samantha and Jessica were over at Casey's house when they heard floorboard creaking as if someone was walking around the house. There were only three at the house and no one else was home. Supposedly this took place in October, but nothing ever came from it and they thought it was nothing. But Casey wasn't the only person. Police looked further into David Fuller's history and found he was connected to several other crimes. He had tried to lure in other girls in the same way as Casey, but none of them had ended in violence. So he wasn't just going after her, he was going after multiple people.
Jeez.
Right. So Casey's father, Rick Woody, and her two best friends, Samantha and Jessica, later set up the Casey Woody Foundation to raise awareness about the dangers of online predators. It's a really good website. They have worked hard to make awareness of the internet to parents and kids alike. Like other people, the story connects with me. I was at the same age as Casey. She was born the same month as my best friend and only a few months before me. I did the exact same thing, went into many chat rooms and spoke with a lot of people who I didn't know, and I thought nothing would ever happen, and thankfully it didn't, but a lot did happen to a lot of innocent kids. More people are educated on this topic nowadays, but back in the day when the internet was new, there was a lot of scary things. Not saying that it doesn't happen now, I was just reading an article of a teenage girl who was stabbed 80 times and then set on fire by a man she met online on Facebook.
Whoa.
Yeah.
80 times?
Yes, 80 times. That's at least 80 times. That's yeah, you know that's personal when someone stabs that much. So, she was 15 years old.
How do they tell it's 80 times? Like, after a while, it just looked like pulp.
Not really. It depends on where she stabbed. If she stabbed in different positions or different spots, they can count them from there.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so she was a 15-year-old named Sabrina McLean in West Philadelphia. She met up with a 23-year-old who had been their killer. It was pretty intense. The case is still going in court right now to this day, the last time I checked. So anyways, I'll put up a link in the description of the chat logs. You can see the actual chat logs that they have of Scott and Casey at the time she was kidnapped. I was thinking about opening it and reading what they were saying.
But it gets pretty intimate.
No. You have to remember these are two teenage boys that say baby and sweetie and other things so that make my cringe. Eyes roll. Yes, it's so cringe. He's like, baby, I always want to be with you. Sweetie, I love you. Like,
in today's standards, it'd be like, I want to be with you, bae.
Bae. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Exactly. So there was a lot of that. I read the whole chat thing. It's all there. You can actually read a lot of her chats that she also had with Dave and with Scott and some of her friends.
You know, I was reading some poetry recently. And this is modern day poetry, and they use baby all the time.
I know.
And it kind of like defeats the purpose after a while.
It really does. Yeah, it kind of sucks. But yeah, so again, they use baby and sweetie and other things that make my eyes roll. But she talked with Dave and how his aunt will be her. She always talked. So I thought this was pretty, like, even to this day, they thought even though Dave seemed shady to her, she still was concerned about him. She still thought, you know, she had the benefit of the doubt for him. She's all like, I feel sorry for you. Your aunt is in a position of what she's doing it, but don't worry. Your aunt will be happy and she will be with my mom and my mom will take care of her. So that's what she said to him. But unfortunately, the aunt was never real.
Yeah.
So instead of her aunt being watched over by her mom, she is now being watched over by her mom. If that makes sense.
Geez, just pull on those emotional strings, don't you?
So, yeah, of course. So, she will now be with her mommy, her best friend. Well, I hope that her and her mom now are happy together. Remember that not everyone you meet online are all bad, but you have to still be extra careful with everyone who you meet online.
Yeah, true story on that one.
And that is the story of Casey. What do you guys think?
Casey.
No.
Por qué, Casey?
Yeah, that's kind of sad.
Yeah, those are murder stories for you. What do you think of the whole...
Wait, murder is sad?
Joe Shop.
Really?
I mean, in this case, the girl was just trying to help out and be there for somebody.
Right. She was too sweet for her own good. This happens quite a lot, actually, in a lot of things that you read, that people just take advantage of other people and their gullibility and their sweetness and... Sometimes it just doesn't always come out great.
Yeah, no doubt.
So, that is the story of Casey. If you guys ever have the chance, go online, go to their website, show your support to them. She was a really sweet girl. She was super cute. Didn't deserve what happened to her, but...
No one deserves that kind of
stuff. Of course not. No one deserves that kind of stuff. You know...
Even the worst people in the world, just... I'm sorry, put a bullet in them and let it go.
Everyone knows that's my opinion, too. Yeah. So... Anyways, thank you guys for staying with us and for another episode of Tea Time Horror Stories. We will be back next week with another episode for you guys.
A quick one to help ease us back into the process.
Right. Nothing to drag on. Nothing too bad. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. If you guys have any recommendations that you would like myself or Joe to do, just hit us up on our social media. We have Twitter. We have Instagram. And Facebook. We also have, if you guys want to send us any of your personal stories that you know, any paranormal, myth, or anything murder related, just send us an email at teatimehorrorstories@gmail.com. And if you guys like having James on, let us know.
Probably not.
We will have multiple guest appearances. If it's not James, we'll have someone as a third person, probably as often as possible.
Well, this was kind of fun.
Well, we hope you want to come back.
Yeah. Why not?
Alrighty then. Well, thank you guys. Have a good night and stay spooky, y'all.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye.
You.